You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. I love the way my Bible lays out the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel. The stage is set, of course, with the first two verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then it says, "So he told them this parable." And then my Bible titles the rest of the chapter Three Parables of Grace, with the subtitles The Lost Sheep, The Lost Coin, and The Lost Son. That's Luke chapter 15. The religious legalists are upset that Jesus welcomes sinners, so he responds by telling them three parables that he hopes will help them to understand what his ministry is all about. Specifically, that his ministry isn't about promoting and reinforcing the already established religious rules entrusted to the people of faith, but rather seeking out and saving those who are lost. So that's what this sermon is about. And I believe that there are two primary things for us to take away from all of this. One, that without Christ, we're all lost spiritually. And two, that God desperately wants us to be found. And to jump right into it, it's been my experience in life that some people have an easier time compared with others admitting that they are lost. Wouldn't you agree? Men, for example, have a bad reputation for not being willing to ask for directions, right? I mean, some men. Personally, I don't mind asking for directions because I just can't stand being lost. And I'm about the most directionally challenged individual you'll ever meet, for real. The best present I ever got was a GPS one year. It was a game changer for me. And once I got that thing, I all but completely gave up even trying to find my way around. Of course, now it's not a GPS, it's a map app on my phone with everything else that matters in my life. But the point is, for whatever reason, it isn't hard for me to ask for help with directions. And I'm also okay admitting when I'm lost. And there is a spiritual component, I think, to tie in here. Because think about these Pharisees that Jesus is confronting in today's gospel. They are upset that he is welcoming sinners. How do you think they might react to the suggestion that they were actually the ones who are lost spiritually? I mean, you made it to church today. How might you react to the suggestion that you are lost spiritually? Again, I think some have an easier time than others admitting when they are lost. In the spiritual life, part of what is needed is a good understanding of and familiarity with the spiritual terrain. In other words, when driving around in your car, realizing that nothing you are seeing is familiar is the starting point for realizing that you're lost. Well, in much the same way, we have to be in tune with where we are spiritually. So let me just ask, do you ever have moments when you just sense that you're at a type of spiritual crossroads and you feel like you just need to pray or ask for someone's forgiveness or express some kind of random act of kindness? If so, praise God. One of my most consistent and sincere prayers is to have eyes to see and ears to hear, to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, because otherwise I'm out there on my own. And like all foolish sheep without a shepherd, I'll eventually wander away to where the fields are barren and the water is undrinkable. So that, by way of highlighting the first point, that without Jesus Christ, we're all lost. Some of us may be better aware of this than others, and some of us might have an easier time, for whatever reason, admitting it and asking for help, but ultimately, with respect to this, we're all in the same boat. The second and more important takeaway from all of this is that God desperately wants us to be found. I love the imagery in today's gospel of the shepherd leaving the 99 sheep in search of the one that is lost. And when he finds it, he lays it upon his shoulders and rejoices. Makes me think about our dogs, really, and what I'd be willing to do if I ever had to rescue one of them. Did you see that video that went viral of the Florida man with his little King Charles Spaniel that he pulled out of the mouth of the alligator? Cigar never came out of his mouth. I mean, it's priceless. You got to Google it. It's just something else. I like to think that that would be me. And to be sure, I realize that this illustration that I'm about to share with you may not fully connect with those who aren't dog people, because let's be honest, there are some things that just don't connect with people who aren't dog people. But at any rate, here we go. You have to first understand that we haven't always been dog people. I mean, Perrin and I both grew up with dogs and cats that we loved and adored, but for most of our marriage, we held a firm line telling our children no about getting a dog. And all four of them pressed really hard. Suffice it to say that a little more than 12 years ago now, we caved in and welcomed a beautiful golden doodle into our family and named him Bishop. And about 6 years ago, we added a little malty poo named Gus, mini me. Anyway, when we were in Jacksonville, and Bishop was much younger and way more prone to wander, he escaped the yard at the rectory. It was early one morning when I was only halfway down the stairs, being drawn by the smell of that first cup of coffee, when Perrin shouted, "Bishop is out! Someone must have left the gate to the front yard open. Get the car, I'll get the kids." Oh, the panic. It was instant drama, terrible, because we hadn't been in the rectory all that long, and so Bishop wasn't all that familiar with the neighborhood. So I'm driving around where I was beginning to take him for a walk while Perrin and the kids were walking the streets closer to home, and I'm so worried because we're only one block away from a major road. I mean, it wasn't quite 280, but there are about as many wrecks, and it just crosses your mind what could happen. And over the years, there's been a time or two when we couldn't, for a minute, lay eyes on one of our children when at the park or something, but this just felt like another level of dangerous. Really, so worried. Fortunately, about 20, 30 minutes later, which felt much longer, Perrin called and, of course, said, "We got him." And it's a feeling I'm sure most of us have felt one way or another, the relief after such a scare, or the feeling of finding a treasured object that had been lost, or the feeling of having a prodigal son or daughter return home. Dear people of faith, please hear this. Jesus is telling us that God loves us like that. There is relief and joy and celebration in heaven every time one of us puts our hope and trust in him. My very favorite image of Christ is of him being a strong shepherd who has just rescued a lost lamb and is carrying him across his shoulders. There's a beautiful depiction in our reception area of this. good shepherd, already bearing the marks of crucifixion on his hands and feet, with the one sheep hung over his shoulders. It's one of those works of art that definitely brings to life the words, "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." What does that mean? It means that what brings joy to God's heart is when a sinner who is lost recognizes their need for the Savior and is found. It is those areas in our lives in which we find ourselves helplessly lost and hurting that bring us closest to understanding God's great love for us. And we know this to be true for two reasons. First, from our own experiences in life. Certainly most of you would agree that some of the most meaningful moments of change in your life came about when you were at your worst, but nevertheless felt loved and supported. Not when you were on top of your game, but when you were guilty, lost, or hurting, and felt loved and supported anyway. Had a friend in a Bible study once share such a moment with us. It happened with his father when he was a teenager. He said his dad wasn't very touchy-feely, was a good provider and all, but not very good about communicating his emotions. Well, one night, when my friend was still in high school, crying himself to sleep because he was struggling with grades, got cut from the football team and was ridiculed by the girl he adored, about as bad as it can possibly get for a teenage boy. Well, somehow his dad heard him or had some sense to open up the door to check in on him, came into his room and simply said, "Son, I just want you to know how much I love you." And years later, this friend of mine remembers it like it was yesterday. All of which is to say that it is our pain that often opens the window into experiencing God's great love. And we also know this to be true because the scriptures make such a big deal about it. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, "I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to call the lost." And again in Matthew, "You who have no need of a physician have no need of me." As we just heard read in Paul's letter to Timothy, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a recurring theme throughout the Bible. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And again, it's a feeling I'm confident most of us have felt in one way or another. That's why Jesus taught in parables the relief of finding a treasured object that had been lost, or the joy of having a prodigal son or daughter return home. Again, dear people of faith, please hear this. Jesus is telling us that God's love for us is like that. There is relief and joy and celebration in heaven every time one of us puts our hope and trust in Him. Thanks be to God for this amazing love revealed through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.